A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
B-Pod Studios.
Hub. And now,
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just on the decision to kick the 56-yarder, how much was there any thought that even if Nick makes that, that do we want to give the ball back to the offense? Like, when you're making that decision, is that even part of the consideration, or is it simply the kick itself? You know, can he make, is this the distance we want to go from here?
Yeah, it really wasn't much of a decision there. You know, we converted 2 third downs in the game. Nick had kicked well. No, that wasn't any consideration.
Okay, wasn't even a consideration, according to Bill Belichick. It's from his presser yesterday, and that's what we will pick up today with the big boy. Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal joining us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. It's a weekly appearance that is so popular, it's now been sold. Yeah. Greg Bedard is brought to you by The Granite Group.
Yeah.
The Granite Group.
Because his coverage is rock solid.
The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electronics heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. You got that? That's what the Granite Group does. It distributes the Mitsubishi land of a brand of electronic heating and air conditioning systems. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. Can you tell I'm reading that for the first time?
Yes, yes, I can tell exactly. Yes. And again, it's either because his coverage is rock solid or he's got a rock head.
Customizedcomfort.com. Greg, your thoughts 24 hours later, 48 hours later, whatever here, of that decision at the end of the game to kick the field goal versus letting them go for it on 4th and 3.
Hated it. For multiple reasons. First off, Brady was on the other side. So even if you make the kick, you're losing. Brady's coming down, what, 50 seconds left, 2 timeouts? You're losing. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, Bill's third down excuse was complete BS. Complete. You know how many third downs they had in the second half? 2. 3rd and 9 and 3rd and 12. A little bit different than 4th and 4, okay? In the first half, the offense just did it. In the second half, the offense just did a good job staying out of third downs, okay? They only had 9 in the whole game. They didn't have a ton of plays. That was part of it. But part of it was they converted a lot on 1st and 2nd down. In the first half, they had a 3rd and 17, didn't get it. But before that, on the touchdown drive to Hunter Henry, 3rd and 4, got it. 3rd and 5, got it. Defensive pass interference. 3rd and 3, got it. They have been good 3rd and medium, 3rd and short so far this year. So that is complete BS, in my opinion. 3rd, I thought Bill owed it to his team to go for it there. That they had done, look, it wasn't perfect at all, and we'll get into the reasons why, but they had done everything that the Patriots asked them to do. Basically, I'm sure the game plan was, let's just get it to the fourth quarter, 1 score, and let's go and win the game. They had an opportunity to win the game there. They're 1-2. Okay? You don't get it, you lose. You kick it, you're still going to lose. You go for it, at least you have a chance. Okay? The Bucs were battered at that point on defense. And I think they should have gone over against Richard Sherman. They should have went after him more and more in this game.
Okay, that's why you think they should have done it. Why do you think he did what he did? What's the
What are the reasons behind the reasons, or are there no reasons behind the reason?
Well, if Bill was just playing it up and up, I think it was, I have no faith that this offense is going to execute anything at this point. Between the offensive line, route running, ball off the tight end's hands, like so far in this season, I don't have the confidence that this offense can put together one play against a very fast, aggressive Bucs defense. They're probably going to bring the house. Do I have faith that they're going to, A, block it, or B, run the right routes and catch the ball? I don't know. Okay? But if Bill had other reasons, I don't think it was to protect Mac Jones. I just don't believe that at all. And, you know, I heard you guys talking about it yesterday, but remember, you, Tony, especially, you were the guy who said all offseason, there's no way they're going to go with Mac Jones. They're not going to expose him to the Brady game. What did they do? They went with Mac Jones, exposed him to the Brady game. But Bill doesn't think about things like that. Now, I do think that Bill might have weighed the situation and basically said, okay, well, if I go for it, you know, it's on me. That it wouldn't be on Mac, it would be on him.
Right.
Okay. If we kick it and he somehow makes it, Brady's going to come down and beat me, and it's going to be embarrassing. That's probably the worst outcome possible. Or I know Nick Folk has very little chance of making this field goal, but is anybody really going to second guess me on this?
So do you understand what he's saying right there? Can I translate?
Yeah, it's the same thing, I think, but go ahead.
It's not. We're saying Bill did that to protect Mac Jones. Greg is saying Bill did it to protect himself. In other words, the way that ended, yeah, we're second-guessing Bill, but we're second-guessing Bill against himself. If they go ahead and make that field goal, or Brady gets the ball at the end of the game and comes down and scores on you, then it's Bill's loss to Brady.
I see.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I get it. In other words, he knew Folk was probably going to miss the kick, but that alternative's better than Brady coming down the field and beating him.
And if Folk makes it, then he does have to deal with Brady coming down the field on him, but do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
Is that your implication there, Greg?
Yes.
I mean, I think it's protecting the kid, but I like that conspiracy theory too.
Well, sure. Look, that part of it makes sense. Again, either way,
managing the defeat versus going for it. I mean, that's really what we're talking about.
No, that's right. He was managing the defeat. That's a good way to put it. I just think that, look, again, I ended up in a different place than you, but basically with the same sort of series of decisions or conclusions that Bill wasn't going to let Mac Jones lose that game. Someone else was going to lose it. Now, I look at it that way. And, Greg, here's where I disagree with you on the, you know, I think if Bill had his druthers, Jones wouldn't have been playing yet. I think that the whole Cam Newton thing was worse than he thought it was going to be. And then the COVID thing happened, and he said, I'm pulling the plug. That's it. The kid's farther along anyway. We'll take a shot with it. And Now, again, you know it better than I do. I'm not sitting here and telling you that I know this for fact. I'm just telling you that's what I feel.
Yeah, the decision just makes no sense to me. And I don't want to hear anything about, like, well, he made it from 58 in pregame. It was dry in pregame. It was completely different situation. And look, if it was 10 seconds left in the game or 15 seconds left in the game or who knows, 20 seconds. Okay, fine. You go for it there. But for a guy who you've only let kick over 53 times in his time with the Patriots, and I'm sure if we went through the play-by-play, and I'm sure we've talked about this, I'm sure there's been time where Bill has passed up a 51-yard-plus field goal with Nick Folk.
Definitely.
So all of a sudden now, with a bad leg on a rainy night, Nick Folk is all of a sudden Jason Elam? I mean, come on.
Did it happen in week one?
And in warm-ups, never mind you, there's no rush.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Any other year, look, I know Bill doesn't have not great confidence in the offense, not great confidence in his defense that they can stop anybody. Haven't stopped Tua, didn't stop Jameis, didn't stop Brady the other night. Probably wouldn't have stopped him again. I understand all that. But to go with Nick Folk from 56?
Who would make this kind of call, Greg?
I'll tell you who would make this kind of call.
Who would do it?
Jason Garrett.
Yep.
Norv Turner.
Yep, give it to me.
Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy.
Wow.
That was Mike McCarthyan. That was a McCarthyan decision.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I mean, the scenario, he
sphincter tightens up like a little nub, little peanut, little size of a peanut. That's a Mike McCarthyan kind of move. Boy, that struck a chord when you said that this morning. Go.
I think they had that situation you were just talking about in week one. They could have attempted like a 52-yard field goal against Miami, and Bill elected to punt. Do you remember that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They elected to punt, and then Numbnuts kicked it into the end zone.
Yep.
And you got the touchback as a result of it. So the ball ended up at the 20 anyway.
Okay. That's a two-day decision, so you can weigh in on that if you want. We got T-Bone behind the glass there with Kevin Maggiore at 617-779-0985. That being said, Greg, you're on sort of the moral victory camp, aren't you?
I am.
Go ahead. Explain yourself.
Look, I just think not all 1-3s are equal. And look, there is no disputing that the Patriots screwed the pooch in the first three games. Okay? Obviously, we all understand that. But this is a different game. Like, the Patriots played well-ish in this game. I wouldn't say they played great. I thought Mac Jones played good. Holy hell, the offensive line is horrible. I mean, it's god-awful. Something has to be done. And I'm sure we'll talk about it more, but something has to be done. I don't know if it's bringing Skarnecchia back. I don't think he's ever fired anybody during the season. I don't know if they slip in Cole Popovich from last year. I don't know. Something needs to change because it's just not good enough, and it's everybody. Isaiah Wynn is terrible. Michael Wenu gets benched. David Andrews has been bad for 2 weeks. Shaq Mason was good in this game. The right tackles are a disaster. It's not just Trent Brown. It's not. The Patriots have played a lot better football, missing more pieces than this. I mean, to the point where, you know, they put Ted Karrison at left guard. The defense was good. Watching back on the film, and in all transparency, I haven't finished the entire defensive all 22 yet. Watching it back, I did not think that Brady was all that bothered by what the Patriots did. I didn't see him. I've seen Brady. Look, I've watched him for a decade on film. I know when he's bothered and he's thrown off and he starts, you know, he looks like a turkey in the middle of the, you know, his head's popping up and down and he can't find. He looked pretty in control. I don't know why he was off. He just was just off. I mean, I think in the first half alone, I had him for about 7 poor passes. But I think the Patriots made progress in this game, and it's one of those seasons, and nobody wants to be here. They put themselves in this spot with having to bring in so many new guys. This is the way it was going to have to be. And the whole thing I said from the beginning was, is it going to be too late by the time they gel? Could very well be too late. Could, but it's not.
But you think they're building something?
I think they took a step in the right direction. Now, it doesn't mean Jack this week. If they go out and play bad against the Texans, then they've ruined it. But I do think they took a step in the right direction. I think Mac Jones grew up. I think there were a lot of guys that sort of earned their Patriots stripes in this game. But it means nothing going into next week.
And I'm with you in general. I mean, you had to be – it was definitely a step in the right direction. I still think there's a gap there between that and 4-point game, 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and do you do the right things to close that game? Because it's been a while since they've done that.
Absolutely. We've
talked about it a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just that's the piece. And I'd say this exact same thing about Mac Jones. I mean, there's a lot of things to like big picture about Mac Jones. Stepped down back to 10,000 feet. Yes, it all looks good. They were 2 of 9 on third down. And I understand there are a lot of long down and distances, Greg. But, you know, it's like just those got to have it plays, those red zone plays, those third down plays, the key plays of the game. They're not there yet. He's not there yet. And so, you know, they can be building towards it, big picture on both sides of the ball. But until you make those individual plays, where are you at? And that's where I'm sort of stuck at with this team.
Well, and I'll tell you what, if that factored into Bill's decision making, like, in other words, if he looked at it and said, look, the Bucs don't focus for 90% of the game. But when they want to play and they ramp it up, they got unbelievable talent. And if they dig in on us, they'll stop us here. So, like, if he looked at that and said, we don't have the talent to match Tampa Bay on this kind of play when they're focused, that I half get. I still disagree with the decision. He shouldn't have kicked the ball. That was stupid. I mean, you're asking to lose the game one way or the other.
Yep, I agree. That was a perfect spot where it's like, all right, we hung tight. Take the final timeout. Josh, give me your best play. What's your best guess? What are the Bucs going to do here? They have all the intel. 4th and 3, game on the line. Are they coming 0 blitz? What's our answer? They had it on the goal line. They knew exactly what the Bucs were going to do. Wide open touchdown to Jonnu Smith. Josh, give me your best play. We're going for it here. If we lose, we lose. We're not going with a 80-year-old kicker from 56 yards.
Your thoughts, 617-779-0985.
Terps Cannabis Dispensary, Cape Cod's destination dispensary, is now open right on Route 6 in Wellfleet. Terps is a boutique-style dispensary that is completely focused on educating their customers on all things cannabis. Check out Terps' unique environment and let their friendly local staff guide you on your cannabis journey. Terps provides its customers with distinguished brands of flower, cannabis-infused products, and extracts with a great selection of glass and accessories. Terps is now open on Route 6 in Wellfleet and coming soon to Attleboro and Charlton. Learn more at Terps.com and follow them on Instagram at TerpsCanna.
Responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts State License Number MR283325.
Felger and Mash.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Two-point game. Folk has made 36 consecutive field goal tries for the Pats, his longest this season, 49. He did show up on the practice report this week with a left knee injury. Patriots with 103 to go, now with a third down and three from the Bucks. 37 and a half yard line. Still looking at a long field goal try from here with Myers to motion to the right. Jones from the gun takes the snap. Quick throw. Ball's batted down. Oh. He tried to hit Jacoby Myers, who was open down the middle.
Good read.
The ball was batted down at the line of scrimmage. And now Nick Folk will come out in the rain, having made his last 36 field goal attempts to try a 55-yarder.
Wow.
With 59 seconds to go.
These conditions.
Make it 56, in fact, as Bailey puts the right knee down. In a downpour. The Bucks have two timeouts remaining. Folk paces off his steps. Cardona will snap it back. Bailey turns and receives. Kick is airborne to the uprights. A line drive kick. Fighting off the goalpost and hit the left upright. It hit the left upright. Tampa Bay still leads by two.
That's what the whole sequence sounded like. I want to know what Zoe and everyone was saying. In real time, when he walked out, what were you saying? In real time, when he walked out, Maz, were you saying, this is stupid?
Yes, absolutely. I looked at him and said, what the hell is he doing? This guy can't make a 56-yarder, especially in this weather. Like, they're protecting the kicker all year. They're only using him basically inside the 50, and all of a sudden they get 56 against Brady, and they're going to kick it?
Again, I was stunned. As you mentioned, how many plus 50 attempts has he even had since he took over last year?
I mean,
What is it?
Three.
You said three before? Three.
And none
three.
This was the fourth, I think. Or four, and this is the fifth.
None this year. I don't think he had one this year.
They don't even attempt plus 50 kicks with them. This is
exactly
what I'm talking about.
Exactly. All of a sudden, 56 is in his range?
I mean,
in a monsoon?
Does it mean anything that he hit the upright, meaning he had the distance?
No.
Why?
Because whenever you try to drive a ball, okay, as a kicker,
yep.
and the same is true just about in any sport, when you have to generate extra power, you lose accuracy. I mean, to me, that's a given. So you either have the power to hit the distance or you don't. And once you don't, you then run the risk of going sideways.
Yeah, you duck hook it out of bounds.
Yes. I mean, to me, that's a given. Like, that's just standard. It's like a quarterback who's, you know, trying to throw the ball deep. If you don't have the arm to do it, more often than not, you're going to miss the target.
I did. By the way, I did not have a problem with the first half decision.
Why?
Because I thought Bill knew what kind of game he was in, and I thought that he played to percentages, that if I punt, the worst case scenario is with the Bucs getting the ball to start the second half. The worst is I give up 10 straight points. And that means we're still within a score. It would be 13-7 at that point. If I go for it and I don't get it, and I have no faith in this offensive line to get a yard, not last night or that night, now I'm inviting 14 points, and it completely changes the game. I'm down two scores, and I can't, with this offense, I can't fall behind two scores.
So I didn't like either of them. I thought you had to be aggressive last night. And I think they knew it because they had those trick plays in their bag. You know, you had to win that game, you had to get an extra score or trick plays.
Yep.
Or extend possessions, get extra possessions. You had to do something extra just beyond this sort of back and flow possession to possession. They had already lost, you know, they were losing the turnover battle. So you got to make that up by converting fourth downs. And, you know, it's like it's all of a piece, right? When you're an underdog like that. Trick plays, extra possession, et cetera. And I, you know, I thought he should have gone for both of them.
Like you said, with the trick plays, okay, fine. You decide not to go for it in the first half. Please tell me you have something in your bag of tricks to get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to jump. I thought for sure they came out for the field goal.
Yep.
Here we go. They're going to do one of those shifts that all of a sudden the Bucs jump off sides. First down. Here they go. They win the game. And they just kick the ball with Nick Folk. I just do not understand it.
Okay. As promised, your reaction. Go ahead. Jay in the car. Lead us off.
Hey, good show, guys. I was at the game Friday. It was a great game. The Belichick defense shut him down. The last four plays, they seemed unrattled. I think they should have called a timeout when it was 3rd and 3 and do the hard count then, or go into the bag of tricks when it was 3rd and 3. 2nd down and 3rd down, it seems.
Okay, I don't know why you need to call the timeout at 3rd down. I don't even know why you need to call the timeout at 4th down unless you just want to settle everybody and say, okay, this is it. Give me your best play, as Greg sort of said. Did the Patriots defense shut them down? On the Bucs' last three possessions, didn't their last three possessions go touchdown, field goal, field goal?
Yep. That's why some of these Patriots fans I've heard from about, you know, my criticism of the final call to kick the field goal. They're like, well, you don't know that they were going to score. You can't say they were going to score. First of all, you hadn't stopped them on the previous three possessions. And second of all, it's Tom freaking Brady.
Come on.
The reason that you were all there for that night. He did it all the time.
Billy in the car. You're up next. Go ahead, Billy. Billy! Calls back. You know the number. Ralph and Methuen. Hi, Ralph.
Hey, I think I'd just like to question, or put out the question, what quarterback would have a better record than 1-3 with the protection and total lack of a running game that Mac Jones has had so far?
I mean, I don't know. Better quarterbacks might have a better record. I'm not blaming him for
some elite guy.
Yeah, I'm not blaming Jones for 1-3.
No.
I'm just unhappy that they're 1-3. I don't know where you got that from. That's not Jones's fault. He's been the least of their problems. He's way down the list. He's on there. I mean, again, a better quarterback might have gotten you one of these wins. Might, maybe.
A better quarterback would be throwing into the end zone more in earlier games.
Yeah, but how about the fact that if their defense could have come up with a couple of timely stops, they might be 3-1.
No, yes. So, but this is why I'm even more frustrated, is that you have the quarterback play has been good enough for you to be 3-1 or 2-2, and you're not. So that's it's not his fault, but it's part of the frustration. Guy in Boston, Bedard's guy. What do you got, Guy?
Hey, listen, Greg. A great coaching job once again, I got to tell you. But I want to see what they do against Buffalo, the Chargers. This is when you could say whether they're a good team coming up or not. Thank you.
No, I you know what?
Yeah.
Start beating the bad teams. This is part of what makes 1-3 so disappointing. Their schedule has been wretched so far. It turns out Dolphins and the Jets are garbage. And the Saints are just a team. And you had them at home while they were out of their home for a month. And you couldn't, and then the Buccaneers come up here and Brady doesn't even play well. And you're only 1-3? Like, that's what I'm, the schedule's going to get much tougher. The schedule looks much harder today than it did a month ago. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and it's the middle, you know, if you divide it into thirds, it's the middle third that's tough. At the end, it softens up again. So they're going to hit some weeks here after Houston where it gets a little challenging.
Yeah, Alan in California. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, guys. I'm happy that Mac has a clue, but they could be 4-0. But my question is this: if Folk makes the kick and Brady comes down and wins, what are we saying today? And my other scenario is: if Folk makes the kick, Brady comes down and they stop him, what are we saying today?
Okay, if Brady comes down and wins, you say Brady got you.
Yep,
that's what you're saying.
Brady beat Bill's defense.
Yeah, Brady got you.
Or we're saying, how stupid do you have to be to give Brady the ball with a minute to go?
Okay, so even right, even if he makes it, you're second-guessing Bill.
Yep.
Yes, because again, you had to factor that into that situation. You don't kick the ball knowing that Brady's on the other side needing a field goal.
With two timeouts, too.
Yes, that's it. Again, you might as well just give it to him 4.5 minutes to go. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, and if the Pats D stops him, oh, it is a hoodie Pants palooza. Oh, it is a circle session of Patriots Belichick Bobos.
It's a Billgasm.
It's a Billgasm, of course.
As it is because of Brady's performance, and you're on some of these emails, people are acting like, no, Bill got him, Bill won. No, he lost that game, and Brady won the Super Bowl last year.
So, no, not even close. But it would have been determined by the result. Are you listening, Milliken? It depends whether you win or lose. See, there's consequences to the actual win and loss of the game. We'll get to the Red Sox coming up. But three up, three down with Bedard right after Big Jim Murray's update.
Hey, Boston. Cannabis delivery is here from LanternNow.com. Getting cannabis in Boston has always been a hassle, but Lantern has changed the game. I can now get my cannabis discreetly delivered right to my door the same day I place my order. Lantern has made it super easy to find exactly the products that I want. I can browse multiple dispensaries at once and count on my order to be delivered same day. So whether I'm unwinding after work or going out for the night, Lantern is just what I'm looking for. So skip the rush hour traffic and get your cannabis delivered today by visiting LanternNow.com/Jim. That's LanternNow.com/Jim.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. For use only by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of reach of children. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It's against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact the Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mads.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mads on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw.
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And there the cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Three down.
He sucks. He blows.
On Belger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Let's take a deeper dive into the studs and duds. Three up, three down from the Patriots. A loss to the Buccaneers on Sunday night with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Again, he is now sponsored by the Granite Group. They are the award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. Who's your number one star for the Patriots in this game, Greg?
Matt Judon. I thought he was great in this game. He was really the one guy I had him for. Five total pressures. He had the sack. Wasn't perfect. He blew an edge once, but he was really impactful. You look at that front seven, and you're just like, all right, well, who's going to make a play out there? He's like the only guy. And so far, he's delivering. So good on him.
He feels like a guy to me, too, that the brighter the lights get, the better he gets.
And he was talking trash to the Bucs sideline early when there were plays ending over there.
He's got that Raven thing, which you kind of need.
Oh, yeah, I like it. My number one was Mac Jones. I thought, again, he got the crap kicked out of him again. The kid hangs in there. There's a lot to like.
Number two, Greg.
Mac Jones. I thought he was really good. I had him for about 10, 11 plus plays. I had him for 5 minus plays. I had him for 3 minus decisions in the second half. And he missed Hunter Henry in the end zone, red zone.
On what play? It was
the one where he threw back and almost got picked off.
Oh, okay. God, that was brutal.
Now, look, I understand watching.
So he had Hunter Henry open on that play.
It was open. It was open quick. He was on the run. Look, and Ndamukong Suh was in his face as soon as he turned around. So I'd be screwed up if I saw that too. And Richard Sherman was kind of lurking, and in a few weeks, maybe he cuts in front of that and picks it off. That's what he's supposed to do, but he's not ready for that. But Mac should have, as soon as he got outside the pocket, he should have put it right on Hunter Henry. Should have been a touchdown.
Tomato, tomato. I had Jude on second.
Third, Greg.
I just lost it. Jalen Mills. I thought he did a good job. I mean, he matched up against Godwin, and he got some help at times. The Patriots did what they do selectively, spin the dial with coverage. We're going to double this guy at this point and let him go free other times, not to give Tom a bead. But I do think that Mills did a really nice job. He had a big third down stop at one point. I thought he did a nice job in this game.
Jakobi Meyers, 12 targets, 8 catches, completed 2 passes. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, pretty good.
You know what? He's
kind of a weapon.
He's turned into a pretty good player. He's a pretty good player. He might be their best skill player on, you know, outside of quarterback.
I will say there's one thing, and maybe we talk about it later. I think this offense needs a quicker slot. And not to say that I don't like Meyers. I do. No,
but he's not that.
Yeah, but he's not that. And you know, maybe it's Bourne, because Bourne's coming on, and I think they've left him on the outside because he's been a little bit slow to pick up the scheme, but I think he's coming on. I just think that Mac Jones needs a Welker or Edelman. He needs somebody who's going to get open quick.
Yeah.
And I love Meyers, but it takes too long. And I don't know what that means for him, but me at the deadline, if I'm Bill, I'm going, one of the things I'm getting is a quicker slot. You could probably use a pass blocking back and other things, but to make this offense go, to help Mac, I think he needs a quicker slot.
Let's get to the good stuff.
Three down.
Isaiah Wynn.
Okay, go.
He's terrible. I don't know what has happened to that guy. Joe Tryon, who was my biggest worry coming into this game, and I actually thought, and I tweeted this out, I said Jason Pierre-Paul being inactive, that was a good thing for the Bucs, because that meant more Joe Tryon, and they could not stop him at all, and Wynn was terrible.
Yeah, time to change the name. Isaiah Lose. Okay, Isaiah Lose. He sucked in this game. He was awful. I said this yesterday. He was absolutely, positively dreadful. Oh, God. Oh, terrible.
Number two.
The right tackles. Horant, if you want to call him, or just terrible. I don't know. But the both of them combined, just not even close to good enough.
David Andrews, 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row. And again, missing snap counts. I'm borderline stunned by this. You know, to me, he's like the consummate pro, leader of the offensive line. I wanted him back, all of that. Something's going on there. He's not right.
Vita Vea wrecked him in this game.
He what?
Vita Vea wrecked him.
Oh,
in
Vita
this
Vea
game.
Wrecked him.
What?
I thought you said he had.
Here comes Naughty Man. Yeah, see, who knows what
I
he heard
he
there?
Said something about like he had a rectum.
Yeah, no. Vita Vea, their nose tackle, third dead. Three down, the third dud.
J.J. Taylor for the fumble. I mean, dude, hang on. You finally get a chance and you fumble the ball. And by the way, guess who else fumbled on Sunday? Sony Michel. Nice stretch for these Patriots running backs here.
They must have been letting the ball air out of the ball in Los Angeles.
Well, and again, maybe there's another reason for Brady's, high and wide stance there with his with the way he was throwing the ball. Who's your third down there?
I had Taylor on my list, and then I scratched him out because I had a feeling someone else was going to mention. I went Jonathan Jones. I didn't think Jones was good in this game, and I thought Brady kind of picked on him. And so to me, he was the worst of the secondary.
Okay, we have an honorary third down for Greg Bedard. Who is it?
Chris Collinsworth. For some of the things he said. Oh, okay. Did you guys realize the best player on the Patriots defense is Dietrich Wise?
Didn't occur to me, no, until you told me he said it.
He said it during the game.
Did you also know that the best downhill linebacker for the Patriots is Juwan Bentley?
And where is he getting this information from?
From the site that he co-owns, Pro Football Focus. You go to Pro Football Focus and you Google up the Patriots' defensive stats so far, and guess who's the number one defensive player on the Patriots? Dietrich Wise. Come on. Get away from the spreadsheet and watch the game. Milliken, watch the game.
I just blame Milliken for everything. Why do you think a guy like Wise grades high?
Because he doesn't make any huge mistakes. He's just sort of there. He takes up space and he does okay. And he gets a pressure here and then, but he doesn't make any egregious mistakes. He's not missing tackles. He's not blowing his gap. He's just getting pushed around. He just doesn't do anything. The Patriots have too many wallpaper guys on defense right now. Wise, Van Noy, Hightower. They need more playmakers. People need to start making plays.
I think Van Noy might be cashed. He's been useless to me.
I thought on Brady's scramble, I'm glad you mentioned that. I didn't mention it yesterday. Remember Brady's scramble on 3rd and 6? Go back and watch how Van Noy tries to tackle him. Van Noy hit him maybe 3 yards in front of the first down marker, and he didn't wrap him. He just hit him with like the outside of his shoulder and let Tom effing Brady bounce outside of him. He had him clearly dead to rights, down before the first, and didn't make the tackle on Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think he's looked awful this season. The only thing I'll say about Wise, Greg, to just jump back to him, I feel like in the last 2 weeks he's been better.
Yes. Yeah, right? I will give you that.
Yep. The first two weeks he's been horrible. The last two, better.
Okay, back to your phones, and we need to get Greg's thoughts on all the sideshow stuff from Sunday night. The game presentation in the stadium, the interactions between Brady, Belichick, the post-game meeting, all that stuff. We'll get Greg's download on that in our long commercial-free segment next.
Come to Nova Farms. Nova Farms is the official co-sponsor of the Felger and Maz podcast. We have the biggest selection of recreational cannabis in New England. Must be 21 plus to buy. Our dispensaries are located in Framingham and Attleboro, Massachusetts. Our retail staff are on special teams. We give big hits like a blitz. You get the extra point. Sports! For our latest content and product announcements, follow us on Instagram at Nova Farms.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit-forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts state license numbers MR281379 and MR282516.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you think the fans maybe needed this? They don't want to have to pick between Brady and Belichick. They want to pick.
No, I wouldn't either.
Both of you.
Either. Why should they? Why do we do that? And I think that makes no sense to me. And I think there's so much division in the world. There's just so much. It's every day you turn on the TV and see different media, it's more destructive than ever. That's not my personality. I try to build people up. I try to bring the best out in people. I try to encourage people to be positive, to look at the glasses always half full. And I've looked at it like that for a long time. And I'm going to continue to do that because it served me really well.
Oh, my God. Spare me.
Thank you.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, this piece really bothers me with Brady. He tries to have it both ways. Every time you ring up his father, he's blasting Belichick or the Patriots. Or anytime you ring up his trainer, and these guys will talk to a lot of people, he's blasting Bill. The game's passed you by. Every other thing out of Brady's mouth or Instagram feed over the last 5 years is some sort of underhand and subliminal hit.
Tom versus time. What am I doing this for?
Oh, my God.
Why are we doing this?
Do you feel supported in New England? I plead the fifth. I mean, you know, Instagram posts about those who can't control you will try to control the narrative with toxicity and misinformation. And, oh, coach, I got your back. You got mine. Every other thing out of his mouth is some sort of dig at the Patriots. Anytime he and Gronky get together about how happy they are and how great it is, like, every other thing is some sort of subliminal hit against here. Never mind the people closest to him on the planet, his father and his best friend and all of this, and yet he gets to come out after the game and say, well, most of the stuff I hear just isn't right and I'm about building people together. I'll just put a sock in it. I don't expect you to come out, Tom, at the podium after the game and rip Bill or do it on Monday night with Jim Gray. I'm not expecting you to do that. But for to turn around and act like everybody's making it up or you just want this all to come together and like, what, really, screw. I mean, just how fraudulent is that? I just wanted to get that off my chest. What were your thoughts about the whole thing Sunday night there, Greg?
By the way, did you see where Scratchy was on Sunday night?
I guess he was rubbing down Galen, his wife.
Yep.
I mean, right, his mother, he was behind her in the look. I just heard
to her.
Go ahead.
Right next to her, rubbing her back. Yep.
You've got to be kidding.
No,
you didn't see this,
Miss? I missed this.
Yeah. Yeah, they flashed it on TV, and then it went immediately viral. Like, look where I am. I'm in the fancy seats with the Brady family.
but literally rubbing her back?
Yes. Greg, how'd you think about the whole game presentation, how they handled it, the whole thing?
Well, it was certainly understated. I'll say that. And look, I think in the end it was the way Bill and Brady both sort of wanted it. They wanted to focus on the field. They don't want to be distracted, probably. And Brady didn't want to deal with the emotional component of it. And so I think that was good. And I don't fault them for that. Look, you're going to have your Tom Brady day at Gillette Stadium where that's it. It's just come and say goodbye to Brady. I was there when it happened with Dan Marino at Pro Player Stadium. It's a great night. You'll have that. You get your chance to have Brady send off there. I thought, so I went out to the crowd during the pregame because I wanted to see the video and the reaction and everything. And I thought it was really cool. I did think by the end of the night, this was definitely different than Favre coming back to Lambeau. I got to give the Patriots fans, you know, a lot of credit that, and it took me a while to really understand the difference. And it's, you know, look, this is a sports town. I mean, you have not only the Patriots, you have the Red Sox, you have the Celtics, you have the Bruins. And, you know, they're all about, the fans really at the end of the day, they're all about the wins and the losses. What's going on the field? You know, yeah, Brady has a special place in their heart, but I thought, you know, once he came in as a visitor, once they said, hey, Tom, how you doing? Then he was just on the other side. Whereas, you know, in Green Bay and Wisconsin, yeah, you got the Brewers and the Badgers.
No, we don't have the edge. We don't have the same.
But the Packers are like a part of your family up there. And Favre was part of the family. And that's what made it hurt so much and all of that. Whereas here it's just, you know, okay. You know, and you went through it with Clemens a bit. All right, you're on the other side now. And I thought that the Patriots fans handled it perfectly, gave him his due. There were certainly some boos when he came out, more than I probably thought there were going to be. And now he's just another quarterback on another team. I thought there was closure for a lot of people in this game.
Okay. I have a guess, and it's nothing more than that. I haven't heard anything. I don't talk to people. It's just I just have a guess about what that conversation was about in the locker room. But anyway, Scratchy asked Tom about the 23-minute meeting between Belichick and Brady in the Tampa locker room. Here's what Brady said. I'll give you my opinion right after. Go ahead, Tommy.
How would you describe that moment? It's been described by your teammates as, whoa, is this a movie? This guy's really coming in here right now? And they kind of cleared out, and then you had your time with Bill. How would you describe that session, Tom?
You know, it was a nice conversation, and you know, it's not like I've been really focused on what I need to do for the Bucks, and he's focused on what his role for the Patriots. So, you know, you see, for 20 years I saw him basically every day, and since I left New England, we'd never seen each other kind of face to face, and it was nice to catch up and exchange just some different thoughts that we had been having, and it was a good way to end the night for both of us. So. You know, we have a very personal relationship, and I think, you know, from my standpoint, like I said, and I've reiterated quite a few times, you know, he's been a great mentor for me. And I, you know, when I showed up in Foxborough, I didn't know anything about pro football. You know, I showed up as a kid from, you know, California, went to Michigan, and he was an incredible mentor for me, incredible coach for our team. And a lot of guys would say that. And, you know, when you're with someone for 20 years, you know him pretty well. And he's still doing a great job, and I'm trying to do a great job, and we're very competitive people. And I appreciate everything he's done for me as a coach, as I've said numerous times, and I know he feels that same way about me.
Okay. I guess part of the conversation was Bill asking Tom to call off the dogs.
Absolutely.
Stop saying bad things about me, because Bill and the Patriots and Robert and the whole thing is down there is so freaking sensitive and PR conscious that we exchanged different thoughts we'd been having. Well, I mean, if I'm Bill and knowing him, part of the thoughts he's probably been having is, why do I have to keep hearing your father rip me or your trainer rip me? This is over. Let's reach some sort of detente, shall we? I don't know. That's just my guess. And when Brady says we're both competitive people, maybe that's an allusion to whatever. It's my guess is it's the first time they'd ever spoken since he left. Never mind texts or calls or anything. And so just
what else could this have been? This is starting to get out of control. Let's try to get ahead of this book before it comes out and render it irrelevant.
Well, and it's, you know, not that there's anything in the book, really, now that we're picking our way through it. And Brady had an Instagram post, whenever this was today, appreciate you, coach, with a picture of him hugging Bill Belichick at the 50, which he hasn't done anything close to this in a year and a half.
Correct.
So what happens? So Bill goes to the locker room and says, would you stop saying bad things about me? Because I really don't like it. And that's my guess, because Bill's a big baby when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
and the whole team is.
I'd be willing to bet it was, Tom, can we cut the crap? Can we cut it out? You know, your father, your trainer, the Instagram, the social media posts. Like, can we just cut it out? I mean, look, okay, so it got testy there at the end. I actually think Bill was the more mature of the two parties in this case, whether he was whining about it or not. And I don't dispute all the sensitivity and all that. But my guess is he walked in there and said, Tom, can we, you know, can we cut the sh-?
I disagree.
Okay, what do you think, Greg?
So, well, first of all, I don't know what show I said it on last week because I did enough interviews. But my, I hit the double factor. I thought we'd get the half hug at midfield, and I thought there would be a locker room visit by Belichick. That's not unusual. I mean, look, does Bill do it every week? No. But I've seen him do it before.
All right, so what did they talk about?
So I think that Bill just went in there and just basically said, probably, you know what, Tom, I think he apologized for some things. And I think he said, you know, look, I don't like the way things ended. I would have loved to have met with you face to face. I think he probably told Brady how much he appreciates him. I think he told him a lot of the things that Brady has wanted to hear. I think he probably congratulated him on the Super Bowl title and told him how great he played last year, about what he saw tonight. They probably talked about that for about 5 or 10 minutes. Like, and then he said, you got here.
And then he said, now can we cut the crap?
No, I think Bill just sort of.
Now, can we stop ripping me? Can we tell your father to stand up?
You really think that Belichick told him, like, you know, can we say nice things about each other now? I can,
yep.
I just cannot see
I
that.
Sure do.
Greg, I
can.
So look,
I can see it 100%. I can see it.
Yeah, and I'm giving you the more dramatic version. But, you know, he might have said something to the effect of, look, Tom, can we just not have other people talk about us? Or he might have said something in a more subtle way. But the message is, can we cut the crap? Can we cut the crap? Why does your old man have to keep picking up the phone and ripping me? Like, look, if they patch it up, good for them. It shouldn't end bad. I mean, it shouldn't go on bad. The fact that it ended badly to me was borderline inevitable. But once it's over and Brady's moved on, fine, let it go. It was business in a lot of ways.
All right, well, get your phones on this. The game, all of our football stuff, we'll mix it all together right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
In business, setbacks change everything. So get Comcast Business Internet, now with Security Edge. It helps protect every device that's connected, so you can be ready for what's next.
Restrictions apply. Security Edge requires Comcast Business Internet. Actual speeds vary.